I would like for us to get another picture tonight of what a mighty God we serve. You know, there's times that I come to prayer meeting and I think, okay, I need to think of something to be thankful for. You know what? If you were to start looking at the detail that God put around us, we would have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes we're just looking for the big things, car wreck, something major. But you know what? Just the ability to breathe, the things that we take for granted, that the hospitals are full of people, that that part of their body no longer works and they're in trouble. We have so much to be thankful for. Tonight I would like for us to look at another part that makes me say how great God is. But I'd like to start in a verse in Psalms. Psalms 34 in the first verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Third verse says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Then I want to go to another verse in Psalms 103 and the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You know, it's a benefit. Just the things that I take for granted, the human body, is a benefit to me. And I'd like to look at one of them tonight. One of the five senses, touch, the ability to feel. What would life be without it? You know, we take it for granted. But what would life be if I did not have that ability? You know, tonight, you could close your eyes and someone hand you a piece of fruit, a banana. Without seeing it, touch would describe to you what piece of fruit that was. Probably none of us in here would have any problem if someone handed us a peach and said, what fruit is this? Just the touch, the ability to touch and feel would tell us what it is. How important that it is that the senses work together. The eye. You know, it's because of my eyesight that I even have a clue what a banana looks like. You know, a blind person, how would they describe it if they've never seen it before? Unless someone tells them, teaches them, and hands it to them and tells them what it is. But, you know, we're able to do it because my eyes have helped me to know. And now, with my eyes closed, touch is able to describe to my brain what it is. And that made me realize, just thinking of that, made me realize, you know what? Here's another area. That is a mighty God that we serve. He took a pile of dirt and made us with it. And in that detail, the detail that he put in when he breathed the breath of life into us, all of the functions of the human body that we take for granted, our ability to touch, the ability to grip, what tells us that it's needed? It's the ability to feel. I've been in the past maybe carrying a real heavy pipe, and it starts to slip. I don't have to think about it. Immediately, the grip changes. Yes. Because that feel was, you need to change it. You know how God put that naturally into us? The ability to sense temperature. You know, a lot of times the ability to feel was given for our protection. What would it be if we had no feeling in our hands? You nick it with a saw blade and you get back from it to protect yourself. You touch a hot stove and you get back to protect yourself. The ability to sense hot and cold. I had an incident when I was a boy at home. I don't even know why Dad was doing it, but had a propane bottle on his camper. And I guess you want, I know they have to let the vapor off of it so you can put more liquid in it. So he was doing that. He was letting the vapor come off. Well, when he did that, it's so humid down there in Louisiana that it made a beautiful patch of snow on the outside of that tank. It was just as white as could be. And my older brother said, Mansell told me, he said, I tell you what, I'll give you some money if you'll slap your hand on there and can hold it for a minute. Well, I'm all into getting money. So I slapped my hand on that. I don't know if they don't even have the ice trays now. They probably quit them because people stick their finger to them or something. But you remember, any of y'all remember the old ice trays? You pull it out of that refrigerator and your hands are kind of wet and you stick it to it and you're stuck. Well, that's what happened to my hand. It was stuck to it and immediately I didn't want any money. I just wanted my hand off of there and I had to leave part of it. It took the skin off when it came off. But you know, all of that was given to us for protection. It was a blessing from God to give me the ability to feel. What dangers we would not know to get away from if we did not have this blessing of feeling. But there's something else that I'd like to talk about. There is a part of feeling that is not touch. It's an emotion. Yes. And that's another ability to feel that God gave us. Things that we need to have as a protection. So he gives us emotions to be able to be that protection. One of those is fear. You know, fear is an emotion. I believe it was intended to give to us to help protect us from things that are dangerous. For me to be able to get away from things that could harm me. But you know, our feelings can go out of control. Yes. You know, there are people that fear everything. Yes. It's an uncontrollable fear. We heard this morning about the things that may never happen. And yet the imaginations that I can have of it is probably going to be this way. And the problems that it can cause me. The scripture talks to us about there being a spirit of fear. Yes. And it said that emotion God didn't give us. God has not given us the spirit of fear. No. So there is a fear, an emotion that God gave us. I mentioned it to you the other day. I am scared of snakes. It doesn't matter what kind it is, dead, live, it doesn't matter. And some of you may not have been here, but during the meeting, we had Joseph Gillenbeck and his family. Some of the children were sick. And so I got home and they were sitting out on the porch. So I pulled a chair just outside the door on the porch and sat there visiting with them. And when I got through, Joseph's wife had just come in, Andrea. She sat out on the porch with him, so I went inside. And about that time, she looked up over where I'd been sitting, and she said, "That is the biggest snake. And I don't know how a snake can climb a brick wall and stick to it, but I was so thankful he could stay to it. Because I would have probably died. He could have been just a rat snake. He may have been non-poisonous. But I think I would have died from the heart attack when it landed on me. But you know what? There is fear that is intended by God to help us protect ourselves. You know, there is a sign that I used to see that people that were real brave would put on their vehicle. They said, "No fear." You know what? That's not safe either. No fear. I am not afraid of anything. You know, that person won't last very long themselves. There are some things that we need to be afraid of. But at the same time, God doesn't want us to have an emotion, a feeling that runs away with me. He wants me to be able to control it. And there is a verse. What about this verse? There is no fear in love. Yes. Now, how does that verse tie into me being scared of snakes? It doesn't. It was never intended to be. I don't think about snakes. That's in 1 John 4. and 18. What is that verse talking about then? If it says fear hath torments, and I agree it does, what is he talking about when in 1 John 4 and 18, there is no fear in love? Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Okay, so you're scared of a snake? Does this verse apply? You shouldn't be scared if you really love the Lord. That's not talking about that. I looked up there, and I'm glad, because I have some fears, natural fears. But you know what that's talking about? Look in the 17th verse. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Yes. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And that love that I have for the Lord can cause me to have no fear of standing before the Lord on that day of judgment. Because perfect love throughout my life has cast out that fear of whether I will be ready to meet him or not. So if you ever have natural fears, and then someone says, hey, let me read you a verse, perfect love casts out fear. Now you'll be able to tell them, I know what fear that's about. That's not about snakes. It's about the end of time and being able to meet the Lord. That we would be able to have boldness in the day of judgment. I don't think that's a boldness that I just can't wait to stand up in front of God and tell him how good I've been. No, it's because of the blood that was shed by Christ and my acceptance of it. I don't need to fear, because the atonement has already been made for me, and I'm thankful for it. But even with this emotion of fear, there are some things that God says I want you to fear. You know where one of them would be? I was thinking about Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, when it closes out, the last two verses, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And you know what? I think that emotion should cover two things. I need to have a reverence for who he is. And you know what? As I start just looking at what all he made, the human body and how it functions and operates, and he never had to have a recall on it, tells me I want to have a great respect for this great God of heaven. But there needs to be another fear that I always have. I need to have it was said when he came down in fire and the mountain was quaking and he gave the Ten Commandments to them. It was about the time he was given the Ten Commandments. It was said that he did that so that they would have a fear of God on their hearts, that they would have a fear to displease him. You know, I want to have that throughout my life, and we're in a dangerous time today. Because there's many people don't even believe there is a God. So, you know, I don't want to measure myself or compare myself against anyone else. I don't want to say, well, you know what, I'm a whole lot better than the infidel. Yes. I want to have a fear of God, a deep respect of who God is and what he's requiring of me. Fear God, keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. And here's a reason that I need to have a fear of God. God is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, I need to have that in my life, because the devil sometimes would like to tell us, I believe the devil would have loved to tell Joseph, you know what, there's nobody around. Nobody will know what's going to happen. But he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? A healthy fear of God will help me. Doesn't matter if someone's looking or not looking. I know that God is looking, because it says he's going to judge every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is another verse that tells me I need to have a fear. And I saw that one in Hebrews in the 4th chapter. And in the first verse, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I need to have a fear, lest I come up short of the promises that God has allowed me to have. You know, there are verses that tell me that we don't want his grace to be in vain in my life. Yes. It was available for me, but I didn't take advantage of it. And it was in vain as far as my life was concerned. Okay, I'd like to look at another emotion. The emotion of guilt. You know, this is one that can be healthy, and this is one that can be unhealthy. I was reading in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Just a guilty conscience makes people think, I'm going to get caught. You know how good it is to be able to lay your head down at night. There is nothing. At work, to be able to say, at any time they want to check the records of how I've spent the money or how I've done this or my time or anything, I welcome them to be able to do it. You know what? That's great to live that kind of life. That you're not having to look over your shoulder and say, I hope nobody catches what I just did. That's what salvation wants to do for us. It wants to let me be a partaker of his divine nature and it be able to make some changes in my life. I was looking at in John in the 8th chapter, because these were religious people. In John 8, when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery, this was religious people that brought her. And in 8, John 8 and 3, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And you know what? We just read that one. I need to have a fear God, keep his commandments, because God knows every secret thing. You know what? God knew what this woman was guilty of. But you know what? He also knew what those religious men were guilty of that they had hidden in their life. And I've often looked at this. We read about where he stooped down and with his finger he started writing in the ground. And I've often wondered, oh, I wish I knew what was it he wrote that caused them to leave. But it really doesn't say it was about what he wrote. It says, when they continued asking him, he had stooped down, he was writing on the 6th verse. Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And it says, what got them was, and they which heard it. So it sounds like all they needed to hear was, I tell you what, if you don't have anything in your own life, then pick up a stone. And somehow the review started happening in their mind. I've got some things myself. And it says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. You know what, conscience, we don't hear too much about it anymore. But it's a wonderful thing to have when it has not been messed with. Because the scripture talks to us about a conscience that can be seared with a hot iron. It no longer has the feeling that it needed to have. I remember, talk about sensitive. I remember when we were boys, springtime would come and we'd been wearing shoes all winter. And the first time you go across gravel, oh, you can hardly stand to step on the gravel. But you know what happened by the end of the summer? I remember one time, Ron had gone, as a boy, he had gone barefooted so long that the bottom of his foot was like shoe leather, to where he caught it on something and tore a chunk out and didn't even feel it. It wasn't painful to him at the bottom. That bottom, you could feel it, and it was like he had shoes on. Not sensitive. Could not sense what, you know, when you start in the springtime and first pull your shoes off and step on a sticker, you're down. You're going to pick that foot up. You don't want to touch the ground again. But you know what? By the end of summer, you could run through the sticker patch. And your foot was too stout to let one of them go through. Well, you know what? That same thing can happen to my conscience.
Yes.
At the beginning, it can be so sensitive. It can be just all the Lord's got to do is whisper to me. I don't want you to do that. I want you to not go there. And I'm so anxious. I want to do exactly what the Lord wants me to do. But you know what? I can override that for a little while. And there is a song that we sing sometimes. And this could be something that happens to me if I'm not careful. Thy conscience wants so keen to feel that voice sent to reprove. You know what? That's not just to the sinner. That is to us. Remember the verse that says, my son, don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So when he sends something to reprove me, my conscience used to be real keen and I would feel that. And Lord, I want to respond. This song says, thy conscience once so keen to feel that voice sent to reprove. It said, no more is stirred by God's appeal to seek his pardoning love. You know, I don't ever want to come to that place. And I say, how could I ever come to that place? And then I realize, wait a minute. There are other people that did come to that place over time. And it was because that feeling that God gave them to be a benefit to them was not used and it became hardened. There is a verse, 2 Peter 1 and 4, because we don't have to go this on our own. But this says in 1 and 4, 2 Peter, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As I look at this, this is not something that I've got some rules and I've got to try to make myself abide by them. No, what I need to do is be a partaker of his divine nature. And here is another feeling and emotion that Jesus gave us an example for. I'd like to look at Matthew 9 and 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, we're going to come in contact, and we do it now. I have times at work when there are people from off the street, because there's like the Jesus House that's downtown. There are a lot of them that stay in the downtown area and have a lot of problems. You know, I can look down on them, but that's not the emotion that God would like me to have. It says he looked at them and he had compassion on them because they were scattered like a sheep that did not have a shepherd. I would like to learn from the compassion that he had for others. Even when he was mistreated himself, he still had compassion to show to those around him. You know, real easily when he was mistreated, he could have had nothing to be able to give out to others. My feelings are all about myself. You know, we don't read very much about Jesus' feelings. I mean, and he got knocked around a lot. He's just trying to convince them that he came from heaven, that he's the Son of God. And they're saying he's of the devil. And we don't see it getting him down, but I do get a little hint maybe when I find that he went off and he prayed for quite some time. You know what it says? That he was touched by the same kind of things that we have. Yes. He had to face those things himself. But the only thing I see that happens is he takes it to his Father. Yes. And gives it to him. And I think it would be a great thing for me too. There's another story in Matthew talking about compassion. Matthew 18 and 27. And I believe this would be something that would help me. This is where the man took account of his servant and he owed him so much money. He didn't have the money to be able to pay it. And he said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell you, your family, everything that you have, and I'm going to make a payment on it. 25th verse, it says, for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. You know, sometimes I'll just breeze through these stories and it's nothing more than a story. But if I turn this around tonight to be my family, and it's going to be everything that I have accumulated up until now, and it's going to be children, it's going to be grandchildren and all, I would probably look at this story a little bit different. His wife is going to be sold. His family is going to be sold. Everything he has, and a payment's going to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now that's a wonderful story. To me in this story now, what's going to happen is this man's going home and say to his wife, you won't believe what happened to me today. We were about to all be sold and he had compassion and forgave the debt. This almost looks like he never made it home. It's almost in my mind he was walking home when he sees, it says the same servant went out. You know, how long passed? You know, if it was 5 years, maybe he could have forgotten what was done. But it was pretty soon after. Yeah. Same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. You know, I need to remember the compassion that God showed to me. The compassion he still has to show to me. To show me areas that I need to make adjustment in my life. But you know what? I need to show that same compassion to others. It says his fellow servant, looks like the reminder would have come to him when his fellow servant fell down at his feet and said almost the identical words that he had said not very long ago. Have mercy on me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And then the story goes on and it got back to the Lord. And you know what? We understand from what we just read in Ecclesiastes that every secret thing is known. So my actions are getting back to the Lord. He's able to remember the compassion that he has given to me. And how much am I showing that compassion? That feeling, how much am I touched? That feeling for what others are going through. There is, when I see sins abounding around me, it causes a feeling to surface. And I'm made to realize with this, I need to be real careful what that feeling is. Because you know what it says? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Almost letting me know, hey, you know what? There's some things that's out of your category. You have compassion. But it starts me to realize in some things. I looked in Romans of the times that we're living in right now. In Romans in the first, Romans 1 and 31. You know, God's looking down at all this, but here's just a little piece in this 31st verse. That there would be people without natural affection. You know, we see that today all around us. For women to push for abortion. Abortion at the time of birth. I just don't want this child. It's going to be a bother to me. And to realize that, you know what? God put within a woman, put within a child, a girl, a natural affection. I watch that with a small child. I see that with Heather's girls. You know how quick I can even take with the littlest one and I can hand her a doll and I see her arms go around it and she starts patting it on the back. Now it's true she does throw it down after a while, but there's something starting to be developed inside of her that you know what? It's just like a natural instinct within them and it has to be overridden. But here's what I want to look at. What's my part in it all? It's real easy for there to be an emotion that rises up. And that is kind of like what James and John said. There probably needs to be some punishment come down for this. You want fire to come down from heaven and destroy these. My place is I want to have a feeling. I want to have an emotion of compassion. Yes. You know what? Jesus had it. When he was on the cross, For him to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, if he would have told them that, they say, we know what we're doing. You're finished off now. But he's saying they did not realize that I really came from you and everything they wanted was in me and it wasn't given. There's another part of feeling. Have you ever said this? It's easy for me to say. My feelings are hurt. Now Jesus helps us with that a little bit. He wants to anyhow. In Hebrews, in the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He has had those feelings come to him. It's just what he did with it. He's touched with the feeling of the things that we go through. But he didn't finish that chapter there, and there's nothing else. He just understands what I'm going through. The next verse gives me a solution. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In a time when my feelings are hurt by something that was done to me. You know, there are verses that want to help us. I was looking at a verse of a song. It's song number 176. Because you know what? It helps us. The title of this song is Jesus Knows. It says, in your pathway have you found some cruel thorns? Jesus bore them on his brow, and he knows. Does the world look down upon you with its frowns? All the world forsook your Lord, and he knows. Jesus knows, yes, he knows. He was weary, worn, and tried. Bore our many sins beside, hungry, thirsty, crucified, and he knows. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But then what he did was give me some instruction of what to do about my feelings. I'd like for us to look at a few of those verses because it can help me. Matthew 5 and 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, see, here comes some instruction of what to do when my feelings are hurt. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He's the example for me. So now I understand when he said he touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now I understand why he went on to say, I tell you what, won't you come boldly to the throne of grace? Because this is going to be more than what we are able to do on our own. There's another verse over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3 and 9. And the 8th verse. Finally be ye all of one mind. Here's that word compassion again. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. There's another one that says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So there are examples for us. There was another one in back in Matthew again in the 5th chapter of instruction for us. Matthew 5 and 10. This is one of the blesseds. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So for me to be able to realize, you know what? Feelings are a natural. In fact, they were God-given. Yes. It's what I do with them and not let them control me is what is important. And God knows that I can't handle them by myself. So Jesus would like to help them when my feeling starts to run out of control. And to be able to show me, hey, here's how I'd like to help you with it. When Peter came to Jesus and he said, got a question for you. How often should I forgive somebody that trespasses against me? 7 times in a day? And you know, 7 times would be quite a few times to forgive a person. And Jesus said, oh no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Yes. You just have an attitude of forgiveness. Just letting it go. When Stephen was being stoned to death, he had something to say about those that were throwing the stones.
Yes.
That would have been so, because he had feelings. He felt the stones hitting him. And he could have had some inner feelings. You know, at that time it would be so easy to just come out with, y'all are going to catch it one of these days. He'll get back even with you. But instead he said, don't lay this sin to their charge. Lord, I would like for you to erase every one of these men that are contributing to my death. Erase this sin from them. Now that is something. Because he was a man, he had feelings that could have risen up. So to be able to do this, I'm going to have to be a partaker of the divine nature. I cannot do this on my own. I won't be able to buy a book that tells me how to control my feelings when they want to run wild. But I can be a partaker of the divine nature. I can tell the Lord, I want you to take this area that you created me with. I'm thankful for the ability to feel in touching. It protects me in so many areas. This emotion of feeling was intended to do that same thing for us. To be a protection for us, to know how to move away from a situation that can cause us trouble. But boy, I can sure let that thing get a hold of me. But he says, I'd like for you to be a partaker of the divine nature. There was one more. Elijah had a great victory when he was on Mount Carmel and he built his altar. And God sent the fire and showed who was the real God. But then he got word from the queen, you'll be dead tomorrow. And he had feelings. You know what? He could have stayed in that emotion of God is in control of everything. I heard about it when the cloud was just the size of a man's hand and the God that I serve took care of me. But you know, immediately his feelings changed. All of a sudden, the threat now controls him. You remember we're talking about fear? He just took off running. And it says he ran long enough that he just told his servant, hey, you're going to have to stay. Maybe the servant couldn't run as fast as he could or something. He just left the servant, kept on going. And I look at that. How can I go from controlling my feelings one minute and news or anything? If it could happen to Elijah, it can happen to me.
Yes.
But you know what? God is so merciful to come to us to help us to bring our emotions back into check. He did it with him. You remember, Elijah was even telling the Lord, Lord, I tell you what, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else left. And the Lord let him know, You know, God can see much better than we can see. And God let him know, you know what? I've got 7,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So I'm thankful for the examples in the Bible where people's emotions got away from them and then God gave them a place to be able to correct them because our feelings can run away with us. I'm thankful for it. What if we had no feeling? There was no emotional ties between us. There is nothing more than you're just another face on this planet. There are people that allow themselves to get that way or worse You know, I can take your life and you didn't do anything to upset me. I don't want my emotions to go to those kind of areas. People have allowed it. But you know what? I don't want my emotions to run away with me either. I want to be able to have them in control. And I want to close with one more song that I looked at. It's in song number 299. Because this can happen in my life. 299 in verse number 3. But here, I believe this is the answer. My feelings are given to Father's control. His wisdom shall govern my body and soul. And you know what? If tomorrow something happens, news comes to me, and my feelings take off, I just come back and say this prayer again. Lord, I want my feelings to be given to Father's control. His wisdom shall govern my body and soul. His word is sufficient. I seek not a sign. I grasp but the promise, and Jesus is mine. Then look at that fourth verse, because this truly happens in our life. The tide of emotion may run as it will. The Son and the Father abide in me still. I dare not confide in a rapturous frame, but I stand on the promise forever the same. Emotions can run however they will. We just get a little bit of news and my emotions can take off. And I appreciate the message this morning because you know what? I found it so in my own life last night. You know, Sister Maxine is telling us about that verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, yes, but they're mighty. But you know what? I've got thoughts. I've got emotions. And how does it happen that when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you have nothing on your mind, and all of a sudden, all these things, about the time you get one put to rest, here comes another one. It's work that needs to be done tomorrow. It's something that happened yesterday. And to be able to say, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to think about a song. You know what I found out last night when I woke up about, I was up maybe 2 hours fighting it. You know what? Okay, I'm going to stop it. Here's what I am thankful for. That I don't have to fight evil. Because if I was bombarded with evil things the way those things are, I'd be in big trouble. I would definitely need the Lord. But I want to tell you, it comes down, I believe the devil knows I could go back to sleep on that one. So he brings to me just a problem. I need to take care of work tomorrow and churn it over and over. There was a verse that I read this morning as I was hearing the message. I'm going to meditate on the Lord in my night watches. So I made a determination this morning as I was hearing the message. Lord, I'll tell you what. I want you, you're going to have to help me with this. And I want to tell you, the Lord's going to have to help us with this emotional thing. Ourself, we cannot do it on our own. But I'm looking forward to trying something. To just tell the Lord, okay, Lord, what happens in the night is yours. The night watches are yours. By your help, my desire is if I wake up, I want to spend that time meditating upon you. If I can't do it on my own, I'm going to seek you to be able to help me. Because you know what? There is not much we can fix at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the devil knows that. So he would love to churn it, just run it over. And about the time you think, I've got it put to rest, here comes something else, another angle of it or something. So what I'm anxious to do, I'm up here telling you, but I'm anxious to say, okay, Lord, it's dark outside, so this is your time. Yeah. I would like to spend it, but you'll have to help me. I'd like to spend it thinking about you. Because you know what I'm almost guaranteed about? I'm going to go right back to sleep because the devil will not be too interested when I can gain the control. What Sister Maxine told us was these weapons, they're not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And you know, I don't have to worry about the strongholds that are in your life because I've got enough of them in my mind, in my head that I need to tear down sometimes. And he told us what it does. Casting down imaginations. How many of the things that I spent my night churning over and thinking about, when daylight came, I just go take care of the problem and I'm done with it. Why can't I be able to control it? By God's help, I can. I'm thankful he gave me emotions. Folks, what would it be like if we didn't have them? But I want him to be able to govern it. I desire your prayers.